Okay, so yesterday we started discussing the Bavli and its take on what happens when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, but I want to, let's go back to the beginning of the Gemara. We read the Mishnah. Let's go back to the beginning of the Gemara. And I want to very carefully read its assumptions, and I want you, I know this is blasphemous, but I want you at different points to challenge the assumptions of the Bavli and tell me what else theoretically could have been suggested by the Bavli, because that'll help us as we understand, try to understand the Yerushalmi. I know it's blasphemous, but I remember once Rav Lichtenstein used to do this to us with, you know, we'd read the Mishnah. And, you know, he would say, okay, reading the Mishnah, what are the logical possibilities that emerge? And I remember at some point, a new person came into Shir, who had just transferred from another yeshiva post-Hezder, and someone raised a possibility, and I think even Lichtenstein raised the possibility, and the person said, but that's against the Gemara. Lichtenstein said, yes, it is, but that when you read the Mishnah, you didn't know that yet, right? Meaning, just because in the Mishnah, there are multiple possibilities. The Bavli may reject something, but it's a possibility in the Mishnah, and especially in the case that we're going to see, it may be the maskana of the Yerushalmi. So you have to be a little bit, I don't know, chutzpidik? I don't know what the right word is. But be willing to raise possibilities that the Gemara explicitly rejects if you want to understand what moves the Gemara is actually making. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara on Chavtet Amidbet, and let's start from the Gemara. Who wants to take it up today? Let's have a brave new reader. Someone who has not yet volunteered. Either a brave Shana Aleph guy or a brave Shana Gimel guy. But right now, hi Yodi. But someone be brave and take up the Gemara. We've had a few repeats here. Okay, go ahead.
All right, yeah, I'll take it.
Okay, go ahead.
So, are we starting from your Shalom here?
No, start from the Bavli. Start from the Gemara and the Bavli.
Okay. So start from the Mishnah? Okay.
No, well, we did the Mishnah, but start from, pick up in the Gemara, from Minani Mili.
Okay, Minani Mili. Amar Rebbe Levi Bar Lachma, Amar Rebbe Chama Bar Hanina. Ketuba Gad Omer, it says in a Pasuk, written in one Pasuk, it says, Shabbaton Zifron Teruah. A Shabbaton, Shabbos of remembering the trua, the blast.
Right. Now this is the description of Rosh Hashanah in Emor.
In Vayikra.
Right, which is Parshat Emor. Right? Vayikra Chav Gimel is Revi or Chamishi already, I think, in Revi or Chamishi in Emor, right? The Chav Gimel start there in Revi, yeah?
Right. The Chosu Bechad Omer, and in another pasuk it says, Yom Teruah Yelachem, a day of blasting, it'll be for you. Right. So just keep going. Okay. So
right. So the implication the Gemara thinks is that at this stage in the Gemara, the reason the Gemara sees a contradiction is because it thinks that Teruah means you actually blow the shofar, and Zichron Teruah means you talk about blowing the shofar.
Right.
So which is it?
Seems like they're not the same thing. Right.
Good. Okay.
So right, so low kasha. It's not a kasha. Kam yom tov shachal yot b'shabbat. Kam yom tov shachal yot b'chol. So here in the first pasuk, it's talking about when yom tov is it falls out on Shabbat, and here it's talking about when it's a regular day of yom tov that falls out during the week.
Okay. Good. Now I want to push you on this, all of you, very hard on understanding this line. Okay. The Gemara thinks, at this stage, that first of all, the distinction between blowing the shofar on what the Rosh Hashanah and Shaban Rosh Hashanah during Chol is d'oraita, right? That's clear, right? Because it's describing two different types of Rosh Hashanah based on two different psukim, okay? If you stopped right here, though, tell me why, according to the Bav, why is it, right? Don't tell me the answer to the Bavli. Tell me at this stage in the Gemara what you know. Why is Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbat one that does not have shofar blowing, and why is Rosh Hashanah that falls during the week that one that does? Right? What do we know at this stage in the Gemara? Yeah, Rami.
So, based on what we know right now, Because we have these two sources, and one of them is referring to a time when we are blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and one of them times is we're not.
Good. And
so
why not?
Based off the
and why not?
And so the our reasons that is because the laws the one that's you only remember it is referring to one where it falls on Shabbos.
Very
so
good.
Teaching us that so, laws of Shabbos presumably oversee the Tekiyah Shofar.
Good. So at this stage we know that, but why are they different? Do we know why they're different? We know they're two psukim, but what's the nature of the difference?
No, but we can make an assumption like why he's doing that, maybe because of Nilach and Shabbat.
Ah, so Andrew is telling me, is already jumping to the next stage in the Bavli, which is, if there's a difference between Rosh Hashanah and Shabbat and Rosh Hashanah during the week, it must be because there's a problem with blowing the shofar on Shabbat. That isn't he's right in the Bavli. But at this stage in the Gemara, is that obvious?
No.
No, right? Tell me the logical possibilities where we stand right now. Right before the Gemara, you made two big assumptions, both of which the Bavli makes, but neither of which are obvious. Right? What two assumptions do you just make? That if Shabbat is different from the weekdays because it's usher on Shabbat, right? Assumption one. And assumption two is?
Because of Malacha.
The Isser is Malacha. Neither of those are obvious. Right? At this stage of the Gemara, you could have said, Shabbat is different from the weekday because it's Usser to blow the shofar on Shabbat, but not because of Malacha. Right? Meaning there are other Isurim on Shabbat that are not Isser Malacha. For example, so the Gemara, the Bavli has one, the Yerushalmi has two, right? The Bavli has one, which is Mechamer, right? Which is leading an animal on Shabbat, which is Aser Belav, right? But not, it's not Malacha. And the Yerushalmi thinks, and the Rambam and the Rif both think the Bavli agrees, that Tchumen, right? That Iser Tchumen, not the tchum of 2,000 mil, which is the normal tchum we talk about, which everyone agrees is derabanan, but the tchum of yud beit mil, right? Right. According to the Bavli, the Bavli says that tchum, right, walking 2,000 amad outside of your house is derabanan, or outside of the city is derabanan. The Yerushalmi says that's true, but if you walk 12 mil, right, which is like 10 miles or something like that, then that's deraita, right? But not it's not a malacha. You're not chayiv misa. It's a lav. Right, it's a regular run-of-the-mill love. And the Rambam paskens that way, the halacha. So, Andrew makes two assumptions, which the Bavli makes, right? But neither are obvious. And you could reject one or both of those assumptions, right? And still conclude that you're allowed to blow the shofar during the week and not on Shabbat, right? So one is to say, again, well, let's read it. Andrew's going to take the next line in the Gemara. Right? Which is Rava's position, right? Andrew here is channeling Rava, which is not a bad person to channel. But I want you to understand the assumptions that Rava made, right? What did Rava say? Right? Amar Rava.
I think he wants me to read the next one.
Yeah, Andrew, why don't you. Yeah, let Andrew channel Rava and then we can go back to Yuri. Yeah, so read.
Okay, so where is it?
So Amar Rava here. Amar Rava.
Amar Rava. If it's from the Torah, but Mikdash. How do you blow in the mikdash if it's from the Torah? Because you would be
so first, right? So statement one of Rava is which assumption? I want you to show how both assumptions of Andrew Rava articulates, but separately. Assumption one is the only reason that you should not be allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbat is because of an isser, right? That's assumption one. Right, and therefore Rava says, but if it's usher, it should be usher b'mikdash and usher outside of the mikdash. Right? Imi daraitai b'mikdash heichi takina. And if it's usher, it's usher, it's usher. And therefore, it can't be true in or out. The second assumption is that if it's usher, it must be usher mishum malacha. You see in the next line. Va'od.
I have a question on that. Isn't the mikdash, and they have different laws about...
Very good. Very good. You could have answered, what are you talking about? Wait, ma pidom? There can be different halachot in the mikdash. Why not? right? Rava does it, he actually makes three assumptions, but let's the two that Andrew made and one more, right? The first one is that the only reason that you can't that there should be a difference between Shabbos and the weekday is an Isser. Right? Yeah. Assumption one. Assumption two is if something's Usser, it's Usser in the Mikdash and outside the Mikdash. Right? That was the assumption that Andrew didn't say. And assumption three is the next line, which is what Andrew said, which is Va'od.
Oh, and furthermore, Halav Melachahi is not Melacha. The Itzukha, the Rita Pasuk, to exclude this.
Right? Meaning, and he said, right? Rav is saying, if it's Usher, it must be Usher Mishum Malacha, and blowing the shofar is not a Malacha. How does he know? The Tana de Beit Shmuel.
The Tana de Beit Shmuel, Kol Malacha de Avodah lo Tasu. All Malacha, all work you shouldn't do, Yistah, this is, should exclude Tikiat Shofar, Viridat Hapat. Blowing on the shofar, moving the bread.
Right, that's taking down the bread from the ovens on Shabbat. If you know what this is, it's important that you guys know what this looks like, just to understand what this is. Let me see if I can get you a good picture of it. Let's see. I should be able to. Come on. Okay, if I can't find it, I can't find it. But Ridiyat HaPat basically is the way they had their ovens, right, where they were conical stone ovens, and you would... you would take the bread off the side. You would cook it the way you cook a pita, right? Not in the oven, but on the oven, right? And taking it off without it losing its shape is not easy, right? That's the point here. Tanur vikirayim. Why? Okay, for some reason I can't find all the pictures of Talmudic ovens, but okay. It's basically a cone with the head top like lopped off with a fire underneath, and you put it on the side, right? The pitot are baked on the side, and then you pull them off. Okay. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
So about malacha in the Mikdash, do what malachas apply? All of them or only some of them? Like
so, in general, all of those apply. Right, so in general, all of them apply unless those that there are specific reasons to accept them, right? Like those related to the karbanot. I'll put in the chat here the assumptions of the Gemara, and I want you to see how none of these were obvious, okay? Right? So, right, the Gemara first posits, right, a difference between Shabbat and Chol, right? But then Rava makes three very striking assumptions. One is, if there is a biblical difference, right, it must be due to a prohibition, to a law, right? Two, that prohibition must be at the level of Malacha, right? And three, if the difference is due to an Isser, then it must be true in the Mikdash as well. Right? Those are Rava's three assumptions. Right? None of those are obvious. Literally, none of them are obvious. Right? Even on biblical level. Right? Because you could have argued on any of these points. Right? You could have said, let's start with the easiest here, number two. Right? You could have said, yes, the difference between the Mikdash and outside the Mikdash is an Isser. But why do you assume that it has to be a Malacha? Maybe it's just an Isser. Right? Maybe the difference is the level of a Lav. So sure, blowing the shofar is not a Malacha. But it's Usser. Right? you could have argued on number one and said, wait a second, why does the difference have to be generated by an Isser at all? Right? Why does it have to be generated by an Isser at all? What else might generate a difference? So let me give you an example that should push you towards what I'm getting at. Right? If I tell you the following, on Tetvav Tishrei, I take a lulav, and on Tetvav Nisan, I don't take a lulav, but I take matzah. Right? And now I ask you, why are those different? What are you going to tell me? Why are they different? It's not a trick question, right?
One of those fulfillments and the other one doesn't.
Yeah, and what are those 2 days? One is called the first day of Sukkot, the other is called the first day of Pesach. They're just different holidays, right? The differences aren't because of Isurim, it's because of their identity, right? One is Sukkot, so it has mitzvot. One is Pesach, so it is different mitzvot. They're just different, right? Think about what the Gemara is doing here. The Gemara is claiming that there are two different psukim, one of which refers to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, and one of which refers to Rosh Hashanah not on Shabbos. You could have said that the difference between Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos and not Shabbos is not because it's usher to blow the shofar on Shabbos, but because what? The Gemara is positing that they're different holidays. Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos is a unique creation called Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. And the way that you celebrate it is with tefillah about shofar. And Rosh Hashanah that falls during the week is a holiday that is celebrated with tkiyat shofar. This has nothing to do with Isser at all. It has to do with mitzvot. Right? And you could have said that pretty easily because you have two psukim which describe these two holidays differently. Right? There was no reason to jump to Isser. It could have been that the difference is that they have different mitzvot, just like Pesach and Sukkot. Right?
Are you saying that Shabbat affects how you celebrate Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah is different? Rosh Hashanah itself has different ways of itself is different whether it's on Shabbat or day.
I would say you could say both, but I would say the second one sounds to me, even though it's more radical, a fair read of the psukim according to this stage of the Bavli. Right? If you think that the Torah actually describes Rosh Hashanah in two different ways, a Yom Trua and a Yom Zichron Trua, right? That's what the Gemara is saying, right? That there's a Rosh Hashanah called Yom Trua, and there's a different holiday called Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Yom Shabbat, which is called Yom Zichron Trua, right?
But following that logic, why is Rosh Hashanah different than any other holiday that Shabbos synthesizes with it and creates a new holiday instead of just coexisting?
Good.
Or
and that and what Yehonatan is saying might be exactly why the Bavli didn't want to go in this direction, right? Which is, that's very nice, but why would that be true? What I want to do is not argue that these assumptions are correct. I want to point out to you that the Bavli made three radical assumptions which may all be justified, but none of them are obvious. And the reason, right, and the third one, which Andrew already highlighted, is why do you assume that everything that's usher is also automatically usher in the Mikdash and outside the Mikdash? That's not an obvious assumption at all, right? The Mikdash is different halachot. The reason I want you to see this now is, as I tried to already warn you yesterday, and then again when I sent you the voice note this morning, is if you don't take a moment to recognize what the Bavli is doing, then as soon as you read the Yerushalmi, what are you going to assume? Right? That the Yerushalmi is the straw man set up by the Bavli. Right? That if the Yerushalmi in fact thinks that there's a difference d'oraita between blowing the shofar on Shabbat and during the week, you'll just jump in and assume the Yerushalmi is what was rejected by the Bavli. And you'll say, oh, the Bavli thinks that if it's usher to blow the shofar on Shabbat, it's usher because of Malacha. The Yerushalmi thinks it's usher to blow the shofar on Shabbat biblically the Yerushalmi must think that blowing the shofar is a malacha. Right? But there is no reason to believe that the Yerushalmi says that. The only reason to think the Yerushalmi says that is if you think that the only two ways the sugya could have played itself out are the way the Bavli accepts it and the way the Bavli imagines someone else might interpret the sugya. Right? But there's no reason to believe that the Yerushalmi is that view that the Bavli rejects. Right? The Yerushalmi, even just looking at our scheme right here, the Yerushalmi is very easily what? Yerushalmi can reject any one of these three assumptions. And it only needs to reject one to differ lahalacha from the Bavli. It does not need to reject all three. Right? It has no need to reject all three. But if you don't pay attention to the assumption the Bavli is making, you're going to interpret the Yerushalmi in light of the Bavli, and that would be a mistake. Right? Or not necessarily a mistake, but it's not obvious. Okay? And that's why I wanted you to be very careful with these assumptions here. You're picking up.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's go back to the Gemara and let's finish the Gemara. Yuri, take over and let's finish the Gemara and see what the Gemara actually believes. Right? What the Bavli actually believes. Okay, 1 second. Let me pull it up. Go.
Reverend Mizer?
Yeah.
Before we go on, just building off, just to try to answer Yonatan's question, could we say that maybe it's different because it's a moed and not a chag, in that Shabbos synthesizes with it, but it doesn't synthesize with
it? It's possible, right? It's possible that if it's not a, right, it's not a chag, it's only a mikra kodesh, right? Shabbos is, it's closer in identity to Shabbos. It's possible. Yeah, that could be, right? Because the other case where you see this is Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur and Shabbos may integrate, right? Because for the same reason that, well, Yom Kippur even more because it's called Shabbat Shabbaton, so already has a partial identity of Shabbat, which may help it. But you're right, right? It may be that the Chagim don't because the Chagim are Chagim, right? And Rosh Hashanah may not be a Chag. It may only be a Mikra Kodesh, which Shabbat is as well. It's definitely possible. Okay. Yeah, I think it's a good suggestion. So let's see the Bavli, because the Bavli doesn't accept anything we just said, right? But again, we don't throw it out yet, because we'll see that Yerushalmi might. Okay. So, Yuri, finish off the Bavli now. So, now take Rava's conclusion. El Amar Rava.
Okay.
El
Amar Rava,
Mita
Oraisa,
Shari, Mishra Shari. You're right. Biblically, it is permitted to blow the shofar on Shabbos.
So the rabbis come along and they made a gezerah,
right,
based on, I guess, like a teaching of Rabbah.
Correct.
The Rabbah said, everyone is obligated in blowing of the shofar, I guess, meaning as opposed to just hearing it.
I mean, everyone needs to hear the, well, we're not going to get into now for the question of whether the mitzvah is the tzkiyah or the shmiyah, but everyone's obligated in shofar, let's say, okay?
So everyone's obligated in the blowing or in the, right, meaning to hear the shofar, and not everyone is someone learned in blowing the shofar.
Right, meaning everyone needs to either hear or blow the shofar, but not everyone knows how to do it, right? And like I said, this is the year that suddenly, aha, yes, that indeed makes sense, right? And what? Right? So what's going to happen?
So, there's a good... Meaning this year or back to tomorrow?
No, same thing. In this case, it's the same. Right? Gzera, so, we're worried about what?
Gzera Shem is going to be a W itself. So, a little bit. So, there's Gzera that maybe they're going to carry their own shofar to the learned shofar blower, and they'll be walking in on Shabbos.
V'yavi Renu, Arba'ama, Grishud Arabim, and they'll carry... In the public.
And they'll carry in Rosh Hashanah. Behind the time of Lula, behind the time of the Megillah. Same reason for Lula and the Megillah on Shabbat. We have the same issue.
Good. So Rava says that this is based on Rava, that this is not biblical at all. Right? This is not biblical. Ignore your diuk in the psukim. They have nothing to do with it at all. Nothing. Bichlal. Right? No diuk in the psukim. Ignore the psukim. This is, right, there's no difference between Shrua or Zichron Shrua. It doesn't reflect two different holidays, nothing like that. Really, biblically, you can blow shofar on Shabbos, you can blow shofar during the week, you can blow shofar in the Mikdash, you can blow the shofar out of the Mikdash, doesn't matter. But on Shabbos, one of the big differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov is whether or not you're allowed to carry, right, whether you're allowed to carry Bereshut HaRabim. And on Yom Tov you can, on Shabbat you can't, and we're worried that in 2020 language, on September, you know, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Rani Gamzu, who's the Corona Czar in Israel, will declare a total shutdown on any gatherings, but he'll allow people to walk in the streets, okay? So suddenly your minion falls through. You have the shofar that Roy Sklar very nicely picked up for you in America, and we dropped off at your house. But you're going to say, Gewalt, I have a shofar, but I have no idea how to blow the shofar. Aha! But I know that if I walk to I don't know, who does know how to blow the shofar?
Roy Ginsberg.
Okay, if I walk to Buchman, to Roy Ginsberg's, he'll show me how to blow the shofar, and we can have our own private tefillah in the apartment, and we'll blow the shofar. And you'll forget that it's usher to carry, and we'll pretend for a moment that you don't carry. We'll pretend for a moment that you don't carry in Modi'in. Whatever. I won't get into that, but we'll pretend that you think that's Rosh Hasharabim. What did you say, Gavi?
You can pretend you're in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, I mean, if you really don't carry Modi'in, you don't have to pretend. So I don't carry. Fine, but or you're Yosef Soloveitchik and you're convinced that it's an Isser D'oraisa. Fine. So we're worried that that's going to happen, and you're going to carry your shofar. So what do? We say, look, on Shabbos, which is the first day of Rosh Hashanah this year, don't blow the shofar. And on Sunday, when you're allowed to carry anyway, so fine, blow it, because what's the worst that'll happen? You're allowed to. On key, Yosef Soloveitchik requests to join the meeting. That's... Yosef, we're just talking about you, as I'm sure Gavi just told you.
Yeah. Greg is sure in the early days, so I figured it as well.
We literally were just talking about you. We were imagining a case in which you would conceive that it's usher to carry in Modi'in. And the shofar, so welcome. Right on cue. Thank you. See, I bring show and tell to share. In this case, I bring Yosef. But as Yosef notes, you can carry by me. I convinced his great uncle that even a brisker would carry by my house, because I carry here and I have about as many chumros and erevin.
Rabbi, how does he reconcile this view with the second pasuk that's brought? Because he's saying that D'oraita, you're always allowed to blow on Shabbos.
Very good. So now Yonatan asked the right question, which is, well, wait a second. Isn't what generated the Bavli's discussion that there's a biblical difference between Rosh Hashanah and Chol and Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos the fact that there are two different psukim that describe Rosh Hashanah differently? Oh, what are you going to do? 100%. You are 100% correct. So what do you have to do? Right, and the responsible thing to do now is to do what? You tell me. You ask me the question. What's the responsible thing to do now?
We have to see what the word zikra means.
Very good. Is Yom Truah, I know what it means. But the Gemara was bothered by Yom Zichron Truah, and Yonatan is 100% correct. That the Bavli never solves the problem. The Bavli started with an assumption that Zichron Truah means something different than Yom Truah. And then, without telling you, it dropped that assumption. And this is exactly what you need to do in the Gemara. As one of my rabbis once said, never trust anybody, right? Nobody, right? In learning, you can't trust anybody. If you trust anybody, you won't learn. So in this case, Yonatan is right. You can't trust the Bavli that it wrapped up all right? That it wrapped off all the issues. It didn't. It left you hanging, right? And the key to understanding this sugya may be in the unspoken assumptions that the Bavli just glossed over. 100%, the Bavli left you hanging, right? The Bavli made three assumptions, none of which are obvious, right? And it, in so, right, in wrapping up the sugya, it just ignored its own interpretation of the pasuk, right? Very good. You are 100% correct. And therefore, I was about to go to the Yerushalmi, but Yehonatan is right. The responsible thing to do now is to go to the Chumash. Good. So now, which pasuk should I be looking at? I should be looking at Trua or Zichron Trua?
Zichron
Trua. Zichron Trua. Zichron Trua. Right, Zichron Trua. Right? So, we'll make it easy. We'll learn it together. I'll pull it up. I'll pull up a Mikra Gedolot, and we'll figure out what it might mean and what the Bavli may be thinking. So let's get this. Here we go. Okay. This is the website that Gavi mentioned that was talking about right before Shir started. This is alatorah.org, where they also have a Mikra Gedolot online at mg.alatorah.org. It is phenomenal. Has many more mafarshim than most, and also the formatting is very easy to follow. So here we go. Okay? Daber al b'nei Yisrael lemor. B'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'echad l'chodesh yeh lochem shabbaton. Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. So we'll take up a few Mefarshim. Let's start with Rashi. Good place to start. Who wants to take Rashi? Someone take Rashi.
I can take it.
Okay, go ahead.
Zichron Trua. Zichron Psuke, Zichron U Psuke Shofrut, Zizkor Lachem Akedat Itzkak She Karev Ha Techati.
Tachtav Ayel.
Tachtav Ayel.
Okay, what does that mean?
It's saying that the.
Look at that. I'm helping you out. Go.
Okay. I mentioned a biblical verse which speak of the divine remembrance and biblical verse which have reference to the blowing of the shofar on the occasion of important historical events, that I may recall to memory for you the offering of Isaac, who's... So it's saying that it's relating the blowing of the shofar to... Okay, that's it.
But what is? How do you understand the word zichron? Right? What does Rashi say? Zichron psuke zikaron. Right? Psuke zikaron. What does that mean?
Mention the psukim of remembrance.
Like good.
That remind you of
those things. With the shofar blowing. Right? So Rashi says that what does Zichron Trua mean? Zichron Trua means that in addition to blowing the shofar, what are you supposed to do when you blow the shofar?
Mention these things that remind you of shofar.
Right. And you're supposed to read psukim with it. Now, there's a huge chiddush that implied in Rashi, which is, now, does this work, by the way? Does Rashi's interpretation work with the Bavli's maskana? What do you think?
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Right? Rashi is offering you an interpretation that explains why Trua and Zichron Trua are not contradictions that refer to, well, in very simple symbolic logic, right? Which you don't even need symbolic logic. The Bavli's Havamina is that Trua and Zichron Trua is in either or. Its Maskana probably has to be that Trua and Zichron Trua is in and, meaning Rosh Hashanah is both Yom Trua and Zichron Trua. And Rashi tells you, how is that the case? Because on Rosh Hashanah, every Rosh Hashanah, you have two obligations. One is to blow the shofar, and the second is to say the psukim, along with the blowing of the shofar, that mention the themes of Zichronot, Shofarot, you know, like what we do in Musaf, right? What's the Chiddush that's... But Rashi, Toch Kedei, is... Rashi clearly works with the Maskana of the Bavli, right? And now going to Yehonatan's question. If I asked you, what does Rashi think that the meta move is from the beginning to the end of the Bavli? The big move is, instead of reading Trua, Yom Trua and Yom Zichron Trua as an either-or, Rosh Hashanah is both Yom Trua and Zichron Trua. And once Rosh Hashanah is both Trua and Zichron Trua, there can be no difference on a biblical level between Rosh Hashanah Shechaliot B'Shabbat and Rosh Hashanah Shechaliot B'Shol. Because every Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Trua and a Yom Zichron Trua. And for Rashi, what that means is every time you have Rosh Hashanah, you have an obligation to blow the shofar and to say psukim along with it. What's the Chiddush inherent in Rashi that is not at all obvious? Rashi makes a wild assumption in order to justify this interpretation, which he didn't even bother telling you. And what is it?
That there's no difference between Shabbat and weekday?
So that is the Bavli's assumption. That, by the end of the Bavli, you know is true. Right? But in order to justify that assumption of the Bavli, he has a different Chiddush. And that is that the psukim you say in Musaf are part of the Chiyuv D'oraita on Rosh Hashanah. Right? That Zichron Trua, the words in the psukim that describe Rosh Hashanah refer to saying psukim along with the shofar. That is very, very mechudash and goes and does not seem to be the simple pshat in the Gemara. But Rashi seems to make that move. Now, that move is so wild that obviously it doesn't go, right? I'm not the first person to realize that Rashi's move here was quite wild, right? And was mechudash.
Let us raise another question, though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't, by Rashi's understanding, this raise another question. How can the Rebbeim, then, if there's certainly a D'oraisa obligation of both blowing shofar and mentioning psukim on Shabbos as well, how can the Rebbeim then institute a gzeira?
Oh, good. We haven't even gotten there. That is going to be, right? We haven't even gotten to that yet. But you're right. Obviously, we need to say, wait, if there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to blow the shofar on Shabbos, then how do you, right? Then how do you get around that? 100%. That is one of the many questions we have to ask on the sugya, and we haven't even gotten there, right? But you're right. And the answer is going to be that they invoke their powers of akirat davar min haTorah, of uprooting the Torah, which is a story and a half, which we need to analyze. But we haven't gotten there yet. But you're right, right? We're gonna get there. Okay, we are going to get there. I hope. I hope to get there. At least to touch on it. Okay. But let's look for a moment at the Ramban. Okay, because the Ramban is the one who noticed Rashi's Chiddush and is not at all happy. Right, and the Ramban says, first of all, right, v'hayatzaricha rav lahavi gam psuke malchiot min hamidrash. Once you're saying that the Torah itself mandates the saying of psukim, then why did you only mention zichronot and shofarot? Right, there are three psukim you say malchiot, zichronot, and shofarot. Three sets of psukim: malchiot, zichronot, and shofarot. Shlo yitachen sheyazkir katuv psukei zichronot v'shofarot v'lo yazkir malchiot. Okay, that's his first problem. But then he says worse, right? This is really the key. These five words is the Ramban says, what are you talking about? Aval kol ze asmachta midivrehem. How are you solving the problem by saying that the pasuk tells you that you have to blow the shofar and say psukim on Shabbos? On Rosh Hashanah always. The psukim are dirabanan, saying, not the psukim, the psukim are from the Torah. Saying the psukim, sorry, on Rashi, that was a mistake. Saying the psukim is only dirabanan, right? So what are you doing? You're interpreting the pasuk as you have to say psukim or Rosh Hashanah, but no you don't, not biblically you don't. So you can't interpret the pasuk in a dirabanan way, that's crazy. So, and he proves it from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Lamed Aleph. The Ramban says, I'll prove it to you. Umifurash Amru, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Dalet tells you, Holchin Lamakom Shetokin, Vein Tok, Holchin Lamakom Shemivarchin. That if you have a choice between going to a place where they're blowing the shofar, or a place where they're davening and saying the psukim, you can only do one. So the Gemara says, you go to the place where you blow the shofar. Why? Pshita, Hadar Raita, Hadar Rabbanan. Right, because one is biblical and one is rabbinic. Lo tricha. So the Gemara answered, "Davagav dehavadei v'hasafik." The Gemara says, "Okay, it's a case where you know you'll be able to daven. You're not sure if you'll be able to blow shofar, and then it's not obvious that you go to the safik daraita over the vadei derabanan, and that's the chiddush of the Gemara." But he says the Gemara tells you explicitly that saying the psukim is only derabanan. So therefore, he says, "Avol zichron shua kimo." Yom Trua Yelachem, Yomar Shinari B'Yom Azev, Yon L'Zikaron L'Fnei Hashem. So he says, no, you got it wrong. You know what Zichron Trua means? As follows. Yom Trua means blow the shofar. And what does Zichron Trua mean? When you blow the shofar, God will remember you. It's not you will make it a Zichron, it's God. Right, we'll remember you. Remember the bracha of Zichronot? Right, Shetale Zichroneinu Lefanecha. Right, so the Ramban says, no, Rosh Hashanah is both Yom Trua and Yom Zichron Trua. It's Yom Trua because you got to blow the shofar. It's Yom Zichron Trua because when you blow the shofar, God will remember you through the blowing of the shofar. So it's both a Yom Trua and a Yom Zichron Trua. But he rejects Rashi alapanim, right? He just says, what are you talking about? Rashi's just wrong, right? Saying the psukim is not biblical. Maybe we'll come back to defend Rashi later, because you can defend Rashi, right? There is a way of defending Rashi. But, Yonatan, what do you think? Does the Ramban solve the maskana of the Bavli without creating the problems of Rashi?
It seems like he does, but at the same time, it's questionable to me what Zichron meaning God will remember you means. Like, what does it mean for God to remember you?
Right, so he says it's the same as, right? He says it's the same as the Pasuk in, right? I mean, he has a good proof, which is a Pasuk, right? Which is...
Then why is it necessary to say
here? Right, here's his proof. Just 1 second. Just look at his proof, because you know the Ramban didn't make it up, right? Bamidbar Yod Yod, uveyom simchatchem uvemoadechem uvrashechatchechem utkatem bechatzotzot al ololdechem val zivchei shamechem vayu lachem lezikaron lefnei Elohechem ani Adonai Elohechem. Right, on your holidays and your moadim and Rosh Chodesh, you'll blow the shofar when you bring korbanot, and it will be a remembrance for you, before God, right? I am Hashem, your God, right? So the Ramban doesn't make it up. Now, what it means that we're being remembered by God is a very good theological question. But just in reading the pasuk, he has a pretty good proof. It's called Bamidbar Yod Yod, right? Meaning it's a pretty good proof that Zikaron isn't something you do; it's something that happens because of what you do, right? And therefore, the Ramban just says, Yom Trua means blow the shofar. Zichron Trua means when you blow the shofar, God will remember you, whatever that means. Right? Whatever it means that God will remember you. God will, right, by doing the mitzvot, so God will, right, the sluyot of you doing the mitzvot means that God will pay attention to you, whatever that means. Okay? Right? We can have a theological discussion about what that means, but whatever it means, it means. Okay? If you go through the Mefarshim, you'll find that there'll be many different interpretations of Zichron Trua, but the Ramban and Rashi, as you see, are both, in their own ways, saying that the Havamina of the Bavli is that Yom Trua and Zichron Trua is either or, and the Maskana is both. For Rashi, it means blow the shofar and say Psukim. Chiddush of Rashi, saying Psukim is Deoraita. Not obvious at all. Seems to go against the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Daled. Ramban says, Yom Trua is what you do. You blow the shofar. Zichron Trua is the result of you blowing the shofar. Yeah, Ezra.
Two things. One, what's the point? Why would it say Zifra and Trua if it's telling you that, like, God remember you? If it says it somewhere else in Bamidbar, like, what's
so that's not talking about Rosh Hashanah, right? That's a generic statement of the blowing the shofar that happened in the Mikdash more generally.
Okay.
Right? The Ramban is just using it as a cognate. Right? He's saying the same thing that happens there happens here. But they're... Oh, this is trippy. Now I'm seeing Rami and Yaakov's screen, and before he was in his own. Oh, it's a... Look at the benefits of Zoom. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Also, could you say that it's like... it's not deraita to say the psukim, but it's like nisnachta?
Well, that's what the Ramban says. It's an asmachta. The problem is if it's only an asmachta, then you need to explain the pshat. Right? Meaning, the Ramban says, yes, it's the... You need some other interpretation. Right? The problem is that the Bavli started by saying there must be a biblical interpretation to Trua and Zichron Trua. If your interpretation is only an asmachta, that means that that's not what it really means. I'll be pshat. You need to come up with a pshat interpretation in order to explain it away.
Okay, but even according to the definition, like the definition of an asmachta, that it's not just the like rabbis using this as a like memory device. It's like God hinting at you that this is what you should do, but you're not required to.
Very good. And who says that? Whose solution is that?
The Ritva.
The Ritva. The Ritva on the Sugya in Rosh Hashanah Tetzayin says what you said, which is, no, Asmachta is not what you think it is. Asmachta is not just a hint. Asmachta means God actually programmed it into the Torah. He just didn't obligate you to do it. I wasn't sure if I was going to get into the Ritva. But yes, Ezra, you are 100% correct that this is a good time to pull out the Ritva and say, aha, you only have a problem if you think Asmachta means this is totally not pshat. It's only a nice mnemonic to help you remember rabbinic law. But if you think Asmachta is quasi-biblical, then yes, you could solve the problem by saying, you're right, saying the psukim is not deoraisa, but it's not derabanan either. It's Asmachta, and therefore, you know, it is hinted at in the pasuk. Yes, you are correct. You could, if you wanted to, solve this with the Ritva. And this is indeed the locus classicus for that discussion of the Ritva. Not the Sugya Lamed Aleph, but the Sugya Tet Zayin. Yes, Yonatan.
Building off Ezra's first question, even though the pasuk in Bamidbar refers to not just Rosh Hashanah, but all of these times when you blow the shofar, why does that solve the issue of having two psukim for that? I mean, doesn't that still refer to Rosh Hashanah? Why do we need to specify Rosh Hashanah as a time when we will be remembered, according to the Ramban?
Well, presumably because on Rosh Hashanah there's a unique obligation, right? There's a unique obligation. And then once you're doing the shofar, it'll do what it does every other time also, but there is a unique obligation. But you are correct that it's going to be important, and maybe we'll stop with this, is let's look at that pasuk one more time. Let's look at that pasuk one more time. Okay? The context of that is, right? It's really talking about war, right? When you go to war, you'll be remembered before God, and when your holidays, when you blow the chatzotzrot. The simplest answer is that that's not talking about the shofar, it's also talking about the chatzotzrot, right, which are a different instrument, right? That's talking about the mitzvah of the chatzotzrot. Rosh Hashanah, it's a mitzvah of shofar, not chatzotzrot, right? And both of them accomplish the same thing. So that's the easy answer, right? There's a special mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah to blow the shofar, not just the trumpets, right? But there is something else here which is important, which is this. It's always done in conjunction with what?
Karbanot.
Very good. It's always done in conjunction with Karbanot. What might that hint at?
The Mikdash?
Yeah, it might hint at, let's be more specific, that what? That there's a special halacha of shofar in the context of Karbanot. And look back at our three assumptions from the Bavli, right? Assumption three. If there's a difference between Mikdash and Gvulin, it has to do, right? The Bavli said there can be no difference between Mikdash and Gvulin. But Andrew said, why not? Now give me a good reason to tell me why there should be a difference between Mikdash and Gvulin.
Because
is that there seems to be an intimate connection between blowing the shofar and karbanot. If there's a connection between shofar and karbanot, suddenly there might be a difference between mikdash and gvulin that has nothing to do with isurin, right? But might have to do with the different identity of the mikdash and outside the mikdash. Now, this is where I'll leave you for tomorrow. As you look at the Yerushalmi, it is not clear to me that the, even though many people present it this way, it's not clear at all that the Yerushalmi is simply the straw men rejected by the Bavli. Because the Yerushalmi is not surprisingly going to invoke a pasuk from Karbanot, right? Which is already going to hint to the possibility that the Yerushalmi does not believe like the Bavli's Havamina, right? There's no reason to believe that the Yerushalmi automatically thinks that if it's usher to blow the shofar on Shabbat, that's because it's a malacha. It might. The Yerushalmi might just be the rejected Havamina of the Bavli. But literally, the Yerushalmi just has to reject any other assumption of the Bavli to construct a different conceptual world. And therefore, when you look at the Yerushalmi, possibilities are the Yerushalmi believes that blowing the shofar is not a malacha. The Yerushalmi thinks it's usher blow the shofar in midoraisa on Shabbos. Either one, because it's a malacha, but it thinks that it's mutter in the mikdash anyways. Or two, no, it agrees with the Bavli that blowing the shofar is not a malacha, but it doesn't think that the only isser that exists is an isser malacha. It could be an isser lav. Or possibility three, it thinks that the reason you blow the shofar in the mikdash and not in the gvulin has nothing to do with the isurim at all. It has to do with the different identity of mikdash versus gvulin, which might hang on the intimate connection, the conceptual connection between shofar blowing and karbanot, which expresses itself obviously different in the mikdash and gvulin. And this goes back to Yehonatan's point that he WhatsApped me before, which is the drush and the Yerushalmi. There's one type of shofar you blow outside the mikdash and one that you blow in the mikdash. That drush and the Yerushalmi seems to be very mikdash focused. But when you look at the pasuk, there's good reason to think that that shofar in Rosh Hashanah is mikdash focused, because shofar is connected to karbano. So what I want you to do is read the Yerushalmi. If you've already read the Yerushalmi, so make sure, now that you've seen all the possibilities in the Yerushalmi, stake out a position on which one you think the Yerushalmi is actually saying, right? If you decide that Yerushalmi is the rejected Havamina and the Bavli, then prove it to me from the language. If you think it's not, support each position from the language. The Yerushalmi is not 100% clear, but there are indications in the Yerushalmi of each of these possibilities. How are you guys doing on sources? Do you need me to give you more sources, or are you going to be okay breaking your teeth over the Yerushalmi and fitting these assumptions back in? Okay, for tomorrow, make sure you know the Yerushalmi well. Make sure you see Shulchan Aruch, because what I want you to see is that despite the fact that we paskin like the Bavli, we have a surprising halacha that seems to not be very Bavli-esque, that we paskin like, that I put in Shulchan Aruch, which is the language of tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Yud B'Shabbat, and Rosh Hashanah on Chol. So see that in Shulchan Aruch, which I know I gave you on this source, this source sheet. And let me see. Yeah, and then at the end, right, I gave you a bunch of questions. You can decide which ones you want to take up. I already have like the next few source sheets ready, but I don't want to overwhelm you. I'll keep them as separate sheets. Obviously, the next thing we have to deal with is Yehonatan's question from before, is how the heck did the rabbis tell you not to do a mitzvah d'oraita? And once you establish the rabbis are allowed to do that, you got to ask the next question, which is, once the rabbis have the power to get rid of d'oraitas, why don't they do it all the time? Right? Because not every mitzvah on Shabbos do we get rid of. Right? Like, bris milah stays on Shabbos. Why? Right? If a bris is on Shabbos, we let you do it on Shabbos. Why? You might carry the knife. Right? Why don't we do it to every mitzvah? Another question that we have to deal with, again, we may not get to all of these questions. One question I do want to make sure that you get to is, which I think is also fascinating, is let's say you don't listen to the rabbis. Let's say you blow the shofar on Shabbos. Now what? Did you fulfill a mitzvah? Yes or no?
Probably not.
Oh, good. It's a machloket achronim. It's a machloket achronim. So if you want, we can deal with that question. It's a machlokes. It's for the first. The question is first directly posed by Rabbi Kiva Eger on this sugya, but it's raised in other by Rishonim in other sugyot. So, for example, Rabbi Yonah asked the question on what if you say Kriyat Shema after Chatzot, right? Same question. The rabbi said, "Don't do it." Does that mean you don't fulfill the mitzvah? That's a very important question. I want to deal with that question. I'm already over time, so tell me which ones you want me to give you sources on. Which of those questions do you want to deal with next?
Definitely the one with what happens if you pull the shofar.
Okay, fine. So I'll try to limit you because these are more achronim, but I'll give you the Mishnah in the first Mishnah in Brachot, Rabbeinu Yonah. You don't have to remember this, I'll send it to you, but I'll give you the first Mishnah in Brachot, Rabbeinu Yonah on the riff there, Tosvot in Sukkah Daf Gimel, and I'll give you the Tshuvot Rabbi Kiva Eger, and maybe the Avnei Nezer. I think that's what I'll give you, okay? So I'll try to send that out then for tomorrow, but first, make sure you know the Yerushalmi. If you've already finished the sources, so then you can continue on to the sources that I'll send next. Okay. For guys who want Piskei Corona, I'll pick up at 12:15. Okay. I'll leave my meeting room on, but you guys are obviously free to disappear.